Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby and this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Well, we were joined by Maven Dave. That, of course, is Maven Dave Dempsey, the co-founders of Super Yacht Radio. We knew nothing about it until today, so we found out a bit more about it because Roman Abramovich had just spent 430 million quid on a super yacht. Andy not massively impressed, as you'll discover. And, of course, we spoke to Martin Kellner at a week of Sport on TV. Away from the Sport on TV, Mike Ward joined us with a bit of non-sporting telly. So that's pretty much it. We hope you enjoy it. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
Good afternoon, Paul. And of course, my doorbell's just gone off. Hasn't gone off the whole morning, but as soon as I start the show, off it goes.
It's like Noel's
I expect the phone will
party.
Ring in a minute.
It's Mr. Blobby. He's going to come in and start wrecking everything, I guess. That'd be good if you had guest stars, because you're coming from home, sort of looking after your wife at the moment. So it would be nice if now, oh, who's at the door? It's Frank Skinner. He can come on and do 10 minutes. Oh, who's at the door? Well, look, it's Russ Abbott. It might be fun, mightn't it? See if we can make that happen.
Yeah, it might be good.
Yeah.
And Fletch talking about a lovely day to put the washing out today.
Yeah, it's like, I thought I was swimming then. I thought he's going bingo after this. Oh, lovely day. Good day for the washing, isn't it?
Who does the washing on a Friday? No one does washing on a Friday.
08717223344.
Who knows? Anyway, I've just about got over the cricket.
We're going to bring it up again when Neil Manthorpe in half an hour.
Yeah, I know. I know. I said to you, though, that I'm amazed at some of the reaction from some ex-players. I won't name them. They all think, oh, this was great. You know, this was a disaster for Test cricket. And a lot of people realise that, too. I mean, it was really poor. The worst thing we could have done was win the first Test because, you know, they obviously decided that, oh, no, we don't want to play England on a pitch that they might actually win on.
Yeah.
Let's give them one that they got no chance on whatsoever. Which is not the unusual in Test cricket, that's fine, but this was such an extreme. And there is a call, really, to, if they were a county, they'd be deducted points and fined.
Yeah.
And there is a new World Test Championship, so there is a case to deduct points. And I think it's rather a pity, because I do think India are a wonderful team. I love watching them play. I think they're probably better than England, especially in India, and they don't need to do that. They didn't need to do what they did. And now broadcasting companies, radio stations, people are left with 3 days of output to try and find something to put in them.
Yeah.
You know, and it's completely unnecessary, and I just cannot see the point. Anyway, we'll speak to Neil Manthorpe about it. I've decided, watching football this week, that passing the ball backwards has become a plague besetting football.
Right.
It's to do with ball retention, lack of confidence. But so many players' first thought is to go backwards.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to turn on the ball and play. Playing forward now is a prized commodity.
Yeah, no, I agree.
I wonder if people, whether this will change or whether coaches will think this is, because it's actually quite tedious, you know. Often teams just don't seem to be getting anywhere. Watch Real Madrid trying to batter Atalanta. Eventually they did score. It was a lovely goal, actually. And I was quite enjoying the Arsenal game last night until they scored,
yeah. I thought you might be. So I was just saying to Perry, he was slightly worried. He said, knowing I have to come in today with my tin hat on, because I've not been in for a few weeks, if we'd lost the game. But, you know, fair play. Saka again, he's a special player.
Yeah, he's a wonderful player.
Lovely ball. Yeah. And it took, you know, that'll do him a lot of good, I think, because to be at the position they were in with like 20 minutes left and to turn that around and win it was a very good result.
good for the confidence, yeah. Something about that team is not quite right, though. They look all right at times, and then they sort of have put in, like a lot of teams, very inconsistent. I noticed this week in the paper they had like a typical weight loss picture.
Somebody holding up an old pair of their trousers, was it?
Old pair of trousers. So I did something that I've always wanted to do, that which is order a pair of size 50. I'm only a 30. Right. I thought I'd order a size 52.
A 30? Hello?
31. Well, 31.
You're 31?
No, waist. Ah. Waist, not stomach. Stomach hangs over.
38 cannonball. Rest of me. So you got, it sits quite high, does it? How many months are you, Mrs. Cannon. Jacobs? Fantastic. Well, 31 waist, that's impressive. Wow, okay.
I know. Mm. Yeah, and so I thought I'd order a size... Not really. Yeah. Size 52. Mm. And then I'd have let the wife take a photo of me holding him up, and I'd send it into the paper.
Yeah. Have you ordered a pair of size 52 trousers?
Well, I had a look on Amazon, but they were £18.99. I was saying to Sue last night, is that too much for a joke? £18.99. Well, I couldn't decide.
That's a bargain for a joke. I just love the fact, because you are a kind of a minor celebrity, maybe that's pushing it, but you have certain notoriety. There will almost certainly be a newspaper that phones you up after you've sent the picture out. And they say, so, Andy, how did you lose all this weight? And you'd say, well, no, I haven't lost any weight. I just bought a big pair of trousers and held them up. Hello? Down goes the phone. Why shouldn't you do that, Andy? There's nothing wrong with it.
I think it'll be good. I'm looking
Maybe the listeners have done it. I wonder if the listeners have ever bought a big pair of trousers and held them up. I just wonder.
No one would have done that.
No, I wouldn't think that's a bit ridiculous, isn't it?
No, it does seem a bit ridiculous. And the forthcoming marriages caught my eye this week in the Times, where this is an engagement is announced between Captain F.C. Wellesley and Captain K.E. Lambert. And I was thinking, who's going to be the captain?
Yeah, that's very true. Who's going to wear the armband in that particular marriage? She wears the armband in this marriage. It'd be all that, wouldn't it? I said captain, I said what?
Exactly. Mm. And it's going to be hotter than Rome, the Daily Starter.
Oh, this is
they've
great.
Run out of places. It's hotter than is Mexico, Mallorca, but this is hotter than Rome for some reason.
They hotter just than Rome.
To pick them. Didn't think it was particularly hot, but it was a nice day. It's a lovely day today.
Certainly, it's a good day. Put the washing out, I understand, from the news headlines today.
That's very true. Mm. And I'm looking forward to discussing Roman Abramovich's yacht.
Yeah, with Dave and Dave.
There's been a lot of letters to the... I mean, Brian Lee was typical of people who wrote and said, he already has a £475 million super yacht.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be much of a yacht, would it? 475 quid.
Not really,
a £475 million super yacht. Why does he need another costing 430 million.
Mm.
And you think, well, it's a good point, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
when Erling Haaland is on the market for about 100 million, I know what I'd rather
have. You could get Sancho, Haaland, and sling in a couple of others, can you? Whoever you fancy. Dybala, whoever you fancy.
Mbappe.
Oblak, and he'd still have a few quid for a rowing boat, wouldn't he?
That's very true.
Yeah. Anyway, Super Yacht Radio, who knew? We certainly didn't until about an hour ago. But we will be speaking to Maeve and Dave from Super Yacht Radio. They're going to tell us more about Roman's new... So I wonder what sort of programmes they have on Super Yacht Radio.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Solaris,
really,
are they all that? Adrian Durham, 08717-22-33. That'd be good, wouldn't it? So if you've got any programming, we'll put them to Maeve and Dave, Dave and Maeve, from Super Yacht Radio a little bit later on. So... get in touch, TalkSport.com.
Maybe they're a bit like us. We did yachting, didn't we, on TalkSport? Perhaps they do the odd football report or something, just for a little bit of difference. You know?
Yeah, mate, when it feels like they would have done this, because it's football and super yachts, isn't it, really? But what programming would you like to see? And we'll put it to the people behind the radio station later on.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Yeah, we're talking to Maeve and Dave from Super Yacht Radio later on about Roman Abramovich's new super yacht. And Alan the Evertonian says they definitely have a little segment every Friday at 3:30 called Ships of the Week. Very good, Alan.
Very good.
They have Anchor of the Day, says Dave in Manchester. Yeah, because that's like sort of numpty of the week or something. Thank you.
That's brilliant.
That sounds very good. So we like the playlist as well. We're thinking anybody who wrote a song called Sailing, Rod Stewart, Christopher Cross, Neerquid's in, aren't they? They'll get
that's
played.
It. We could only think of those.
Well, you can't play theme from Titanic, can you? Because it's a bit like playing I Will Survive on Hospital Radio. So
right.
It's not done. So if you've got any items for the playlist, we will put it to Dave and Maeve, Maeve and Dave, a little bit later on.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Well, with £430 million burning a hole in his pocket, Roman Abramovich could have gone and got Jadon Sancho and Erling Haaland and Jan Oblak and maybe one or two other adornments for the Chelsea team, but no.
He would.
He fancied another super yacht, and who can blame him? It's a 460-foot Solaris. I can tell you no more than that. I'm not an expert in the field, believe it or not. I've never had a super yacht. But thankfully, two people that can tell us more now are Maeve and Dave Dempsey, the co-founders of Super Yacht Radio. Good afternoon, both.
Good afternoon, Billy. Thanks for having us.
Hello.
Hello there.
Hello.
Yes. So where should we start? Dave, tell us a bit more about Super Yacht Radio. Is this radio that's piped into super yachts, or is it a radio station about super yachts?
It's a bit of both. Actually, it's very weird being on this side of the microphone, so you'll have to forgive me, I'm a bit thrown. Super Yacht Radio was a concept we came up with about 3 years ago. I worked in the super yacht industry, putting in VSAT comms and networking systems and yachts, and Maeve was what we call a yachting widow. She was based back in Antibes in south of France. And one thing that struck me in the industry was that we were very spread out across, we're global. Wherever there's sunshine, tropics and fine weather, you'll find super yachts. Mm-hmm. However, it's a very close-knit industry. And there's no marina that we could go to that we wouldn't know somebody or bump into somebody, etc. And it was an idea we had about having an industry-focused radio station that brought good music, but also information, talk to industry leaders, personalities, etc.
Interesting.
And came up with it about 3 years ago, and it's been going from strength to strength. We're very much focused on the industry. So yes, we're listened to on boats. We're listened to by crew and in many of the offices. Even though they shouldn't be, I believe we're being played out as well. So,
fantastic.
Yeah.
Is it a very competitive world? This, the world of super yacht owners. I mean, why would a man who's already got a massive yacht, why would you want another one? I mean, what's the point of it? And in the end, I mean, 48 cabins. It's got takes 36 passengers and a crew of 60. So that's almost double the amount of crew to look after them. It does seem something. I mean, it just seems odd, really. That anybody would want this.
I think you've got different drivers. Up to the point that we saw Russians coming into the market, the super yachts, the sizes of super yachts just grew slowly but steadily. There was a stage where a 35-meter yacht would be considered a super yacht. Today, it really goes from 40, 45 meters, and then you've got the mega yachts, etc. When the Russians came on board, I think a lot of that was ego-driven. And so especially you were talking about Solaris and Abramovich. I can never pronounce it.
Yes, right, yeah.
There was an explosion there of bigger. And you would see people buying a yacht or ordering a yacht, then seeing somebody else that they knew maybe in business or whatever, ordering a yacht 5 meters bigger. And they'd go back to the shipyard and say, look, could you add another 10 meters on there? So there was a lot of that as well, which kind of drove the size explosion.
So Maeve, I'm just going to say, Maeve, he would have these moored in different places. He obviously doesn't need to charter these or give them to friends, I don't know. But he will just have these moored in different places. And when he's in these parts of the world, he can just leap on his super yacht, I take it.
Absolutely. I think, you know, what's interesting in our industry is that last year where, you know, come February or March, there was a huge drop, you know, everywhere around the world. By the end of last year, the charter and brokerage market for super yachts was doing very, very strongly and very, very well. So for our perspective, you know, whether you're ultra high net worth individual or, you know, you're a smaller millionaire for our industry, everyone was locked down last year. And hence, there's like no more beautiful place when you've been locked down than, you know, on the bridge of a boat where you can go anywhere in the world and be socially isolated and get out in the open.
To get to your question, I think the advantage that people like Abramovich has and also a lot of Saudi owners as well who would have fleets of you know, 2-3, maybe more boats. The advantage is that, yes, if you want to be in the Med, you can go down and join your boat in the Med. If you want to be in the Caribbean and you have a boat over there, you just pop over it. You don't have to rely on the captain and weather to reposition your boat to the place you want to be.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Now, I would like to say we really welcome people like Abramovich into the industry because the amount of employment, and it's quite a lot we see in the media about super yachts and the owners. People going, oh, the one percenters, and they focus on, if I can use the term, the bauble of the ownership of a yacht. You know, it's a luxury, like a Lamborghini or whatever. It's an item. But behind that, you've got thousands of people who are employed, thousands of families that rely on the industry. And so with him coming in and buying a 140-meter, and I look forward to buying a bigger one next year, he's providing countless jobs, not only in the manufacture of the building of that boat, but also in the service industry that's behind it. Yeah. You know, the provisioning, the support of it, the crew. So it's, you know, there's a huge amount that he's actually giving back by owning that yacht. So there's two sides to it.
Sure.
There's the glossy side.
With a crew. Oh, go on.
No, that was it.
Yeah.
I was going to say, with a crew of 60, though, I mean, is it competitive to, you know, to get the best captains? And I'd imagine it would be, really. Or can anybody drive a boat?
Like I doubt. Are you not going to spend 460 million quid and let someone's nan loose on it? Are you really?
You want to trust your captain.
Yeah.
To answer the question, yes, anybody can drive the boat if they've been taught how to.
Right.
It's like anybody can drive a car if they've been taught how to.
Yeah.
If you've got a boat of about 40 to 50 meters, you've got about 7 to 12 crew on it. But think of it as an industry. Think of it as a company. If you've got a small amount of people working there, you need a manager who can manage a small amount of people. But once you go up to 60 people, you're looking at a very, very different. You get to drive the boat much easier.
Yeah, most of them will say that 10% of their work is actually driving the boat. The other 90% is HR and business, and making sure the IT is right.
Yeah, it's leadership and management. It's
administration. I mean, although they do, I mean, any captain of that size boat will have at least 20 years experience under his belt and have worked his way up with all his certifications, you know.
It sounds like a glamorous business. Sadly, we've run out of time, but it's been lovely to talk to you both. Continued success with the radio station. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you, Billy.
Lovely to meet you both. Thanks, Paul and Andy.
There we are, Maeve and Dave Dempsey, co-founders of Super Yacht Radio. When you're next on your super yacht, guys. Don't forget to tune. I should have got the frequency, really. We've got some nice, we've got some very funny programming. Our old mate Andy Smart, he would love to hear, "I'm sorry I haven't a crew." The radio, you'd have that on there, wouldn't you?
Very good.
And one that Andy could appear in because it's improv-based, from Tony, who says, "Whose liner is it anyway?" That would have to be in there.
That's good.
And so, yeah, and also there'd be Martin Kellner's A Week in Port, that we do every every Friday at 3:05, says James, a Leeds fan. So there we are. Everything you need to know about it's a lovely. Can anybody drive a boat? Yes, mate. I wouldn't put you in charge of it. I wouldn't put you in charge of a mini, mate. I wouldn't put you in charge of a boat.
I'd have a problem with the parking, you know, when you come into the harbour. That'd be a problem for me.
They could do a handbrake. You're just one of those. Just get into the gap.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
If you have got a super yacht, you might be in the market for this thing that I read about yesterday.
With respect, there might be a few. There might be a couple of TalkSport listeners. There's probably a lot of professional footballers going, "I'm saying, yeah, right," at the moment in their Bentleys.
Yeah, Bob in Arbroath, he's got a nice
super yacht. Yeah,
he's in Mordor, on the Clyde or somewhere. Anyway, if you are that type, you might like this, which is the world's most expensive biryani. It's £194.
Wow.
So and it's basically it costs that, and it's carried in on a giant platter by two waiters.
Nice.
It features mixed grill, kofta kebabs, lamb chops, and roast chicken, accompanied by four sauces. And this is the bit. On top of that, we put 20 pieces of real gold leaf.
Oh.
Complete waste of time. That's what Salt Bay does. It's such a waste of money.
They do this every time you hear a story about it's the world's most expensive meat pie. It's normally a meat pie with gold leaf on it. That's the only thing that sets it apart, isn't it? The level of gold leaf. What's the point?
Yeah.
It's such a pointless. Let's create the most world's expensive sausage roll. Let's put
Greg's be doing it. It'd be tremendous.
Yeah, £200 for a sausage roll. How much? Good point by Lawrence in Chiswick, your part of the world. And he says, "Does Roman Abramovich sack his super yacht captains as much as he sacks the managers?"
You could be
halfway across the Atlantic, an helicopter lands, and off you go. And
the Marina Granite Skies in the game.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
That's true.
You jump on the ladder, and the next bloke jumps down. That would be fantastic, wouldn't it?
Dear, oh dear. And, you know, I love the little stories around the newspaper. I've lived off them for years now. But sometimes I just look at them and think, how did this get in the paper? And this is, "Farmer Merrin Gilbard is celebrating after a sheep gave birth to four lambs instead of two near Liscard in Cornwall." How did that make the Sun?
Yeah.
What, who cares? I mean, is it that unusual that a sheep will give birth to four lambs instead of two? I don't know. Maybe it is. Maybe it's a very rare thing.
What with that and super yachts? There's a lot of unanswered questions. Question today, really, I think.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
It's time to look at a week of sport on TV in the company of squad number 9, king of overnights. It is Martin Kellner. Good afternoon, Martin.
Good afternoon to you, boys.
Yes, now, we spoke yesterday to the two directors of the new Netflix movie on Pelé. And I know you've seen the movie, Martin.
Enjoyed it very much. I mean, it's obviously it's right at the headline of all the stuff that Netflix is doing at the moment. So they obviously have huge hopes for it, but really good. I mean, I will always watch a documentary about either Pelé, Maradona, Muhammad Ali or the Beatles. Incidentally, I did watch 8 days a week again.
Oh, that's brilliant, isn't it?
The Ron Howard. That's fantastic. The Beatles, the touring years. But yeah, this is fine. I mean, everything is in there that you want, starting really, I suppose, with the 1950 World Cup, where the whole Brazilian nation was shocked by the fact they were beaten by Uruguay 2-1 in Brazil.
Mm.
And you sort of got a view from that of how much football does, you know, how much the whole nationhood is tied up with how the national football team is doing. Pelé's father was a footballer as well. You had sort of archive footage of him, Maria, his sister, we heard. It was, everything was there. So 1950, and then, of course, 1958, when he went to play in the World Cup in Sweden, which Brazil won the first of those three World Cups. Three very different World Cups, obviously. But that particular World Cup, there was no real expectation. You know, there weren't that, he wasn't that well known. later World Cups, obviously he was, because Santos, the team he played for in Brazil, very much like the Harlem Globetrotters.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
I can remember them playing at Sheffield Wednesday, I think, in the late 60s, and they did do that. And he became, in a way, the first star of the TV era of football. Mm. You know, we started off, we saw them all listening on the radio to the 1950 World Cup, but by 58 in Sweden, obviously they beat Wales. Must have had a hell of a team then, because they held Brazil to 1-0 in the quarter.
John Charles, Cliff, yeah. Ivor,
John
Church.
Charles, yeah.
Yeah, great side.
Yeah.
Did you? You played football with him?
Yes, I did. Just in a charity match. He was 58 at the time. I was only 56. But yeah, he was 58 at the time, and still, you know, and very, very paunchy, let's put it that way. But still, got such a great touch, to be honest.
The 58, when he reflects on 58, when he looks back on, and it's really, it's like he's back there, isn't it, when he's talking about it, and he suddenly bursts into tears. And it's just that memory of how he felt having won it. And like you said, it's so tied into the national consciousness. And that journalist says, he basically says the words, there is a phrase in Portuguese that basically sees, they see themselves as this kind of mongrel breed. He says it, doesn't he? And he said, and that win in 58 made them feel that, you know, they'd arrived as a nation, you know. So as you said, it's so tied up, football, so tied up with the way they felt.
Well, it is, obviously.
I burst into tears when I think of the, sorry, Martin. I say I burst into tears when I think of England in South Africa in 2010, that World Cup.
Oh, okay.
For different reasons.
Yes, I think we all do. But yeah, I did enjoy the interview. One of my favourites, unexpected humour, but one of the interviews was shortly after he got married. So it'd be in the 60s. It was a black and white interview. And the interviewer asked a question that you wouldn't really ask, but the interviewer said, was it hard for you to stay faithful to your wife? Apparently it was.
To be fair, I mean, he is quite candid. And as we were saying to the guys yesterday, the fact that the film starts with him kind of shuffling in on a Zimmer frame, you know,
that's
frail.
Shocking moment, that, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, because I think we talked to Tim Vickery about him a lot, and he's on TV over in Brazil a lot. And, you know, he does have an ego. He does care about his legacy. And Tim's feeling is that he's done this film because, you know, he's a bit sepia tinted. People can find film of Maradona, and they can find film of Messi, but they've kind of, he doesn't want people to forget him. And I think I think it's done its job, isn't it? Because you see what a player he was and how important a figure he was in the world of football and in Brazil.
Yeah, fantastic. I mean, and the problem was, he's often unfavourably compared to Muhammad Ali. That point was addressed in that Muhammad Ali took a political stand on the Vietnam War, etc., to his own personal cost. Whereas when the military dictatorship came in 1968 in Brazil, Pelé chose to remain completely non-political. And in a way, I can see his point of view. A lot easier to be political in the United States than it was in Brazil at that time, where people were disappearing. And as I've already said, football was so interconnected with the sense of the nation. And there's a brilliant interview with a former cabinet minister from the
government. He was
there.
A piece of work, wasn't he? He was like something from The Sopranos.
Unbelievable.
Have you not watched this yet, Andy,
I haven't seen it yet.
It's great. You'll love it. It's very good. Yeah.
But I have been watching. I've been watching because you mentioned being compared to Muhammad Ali, and it's a bit timely because of what happened earlier in the week. But I've been watching the Tiger documentary on Sky Documentaries. Mm. I can't remember whether
you Martin did see. Yeah, you have seen that.
Yeah, I thought
you told us about that.
But also incredible. Film, I thought, really interesting.
Yeah, Martin, we should. So, Pelé, you should go and definitely check it out. It's fantastic. Also,
definitely.
Yeah, sorry, Martin.
If only for the interview with. I know we've got a bit of a delay on the line today. If only for the interview with Emilio Medici, who was the guy who was part of the military dictatorship. When he's asked, I couldn't believe it. He was asked. You know, these people disappeared, and I believe that was torture. He said, "Oh yeah, definitely."
Oh yeah, he didn't mess about, did he? Didn't? Oh yeah, he was. Oh, he was. Yeah, no. Not. Yeah, I won't be inviting him round for dinner. Martin. So that's on Netflix. Worth checking out. Talk about going above and beyond. You've watched a Peruvian surfing film for us.
Absolutely. Also excellent. You know, my view is, if you only watch one surfing documentary this year, that's the one to watch.
Right.
It's a Storyville documentary on BBC. Yeah. It's on the iPlayer still. Mm-hmm. It's called Into the Storm. And certainly if you've been, you know, if you've watched the film about Pelé or some of the various ones about Maradona, it also, you know, there's a lot about Latin America in it as well. It's a young lad who's from the Jorilos district in Lima, where all the houses have the sort of corrugated iron roofs and they all live in tin shacks, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's no way out of there. You'll really, you know, if you want to get out of it's crime or it's drugs, basically.
Mm.
And that's very, very clear when you watch it. But this chap, he's, as I say, a 14-year-old kid. His dad's in prison. He's not seen his dad for like 12 years or whatever. He says, for me, surfing is a blessing. It's my life and passion. And it was one of these guys who sort of organised sports to try and get kids out of the barrio and give them a new life.
Mm.
And he dreams about a world championship in surfing. It's a bit late in that respect. It's a little bit like Hoop Dreams.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They resisted the temptation to call it Wet Dreams. But it's
just as well, yeah, yeah.
But yes, it's just as well, I think.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's Into the Storm. En la Tormenta is the for it.
is it subtitles?
You're a devil, you are, Martin.
There are subtitles.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, it is subtitled, but there's English in it as well, so it's sort of mixture.
And I think we're more or less out of time. You will be.
I think we are a shame.
I think you'll be back overnight. I understand, won't you?
I'll be back overnight, but I'll be switching my internet off first and switching it back on again because we seem to have about a 12-second delay between me.
What's lined up overnight? Do you know?
I do know. Well, obviously, it's all the Premier League action. We go to Latin America, and we'll be speaking again, actually, about the Pelé documentary with our man in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
We'll also be talking about the epidemic of hippos in Mexico.
Is there a hippo epidemic in Mexico, really?
There is. There is.
Like our hepatitis, there was.
No, there is. No, what it is the El Chapo, the drug dealer, the late El Chapo, I believe, he bought these hippos for his private sort of safari park.
Right.
And they've been breeding like that.
Chapo's hippos.
Chapo's Hippos. It's a documentary waiting to be made.
Yeah.
That's a hit on Netflix, isn't it? Chapo's Hippos. Now that the Tiger King is all locked up and Donald Trump refused to release him, Chapo's Hippos. But yeah, so that amongst many exciting items, we will be talking about the outbreak of hippos. And we'll be playing what you call the birthday spread, what I like to call How Old Cary Grant.
It's all right. Martin, so 1 a.m. till 6 a.m.
Yeah, 6 in the morning. Ridiculous, I know.
Fantastic. Okay, cheers, Martin. We'll catch you next week.
All the best, boys.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
We end today looking at the non-sporting TV over the weekend. If you get a break, you need a break from sport. There's a few options for you, courtesy of the Star's Brighton supporting reviewer, Mike Ward. Good afternoon, Mike, as always.
I should just stress, when I said that I didn't watch that game the other day, having watched some of Brighton against Crystal Palace, that's why I watched Celebrity Best Home Cook. Because that's what happens. I was following the statistics and I thought, oh, this is brilliant. We've had 5,803 shots on target and they've had one. I'll watch the last 10 minutes. It's going to be lovely.
It's a shame because you missed a good performance. Fault. Yeah, it probably was. I think you've got to kind of see it through to the bitter end next time.
The trouble with shots on target is that's a bit of a deceptive statistic. I mean, you could kick 5 shots at the keeper for penalties, couldn't you? And they're all shots on target, but that doesn't mean they're any good.
That's very true.
You were
morally, you won that game, but sadly you don't get points for that.
We'll be in the moral Premier League next season.
Now, I do love your description of Gordon Ramsay's bank balance. You say, continuing the nightly-ish game show in which oversight overexcitable contestants try to win £100,000 by balancing fake gold bars on a sweary chef's seesaw. Sold it to me.
That's pretty much it's all it needs.
I've tuned in by accident a couple of times, by mistake, and that's effectively, it seems to be what's happening. And the level of answers to the questions, they're going to be making Private Eyes Dumb Britain by the sound of it.
I know. How long did you stick it out for?
I think about just before other things came on, probably about a minute and a half.
I managed 5 minutes.
Oh, okay, fair enough. Well done to you.
These are all going to go on the box, on the back of the DVD box set.
What's going on, Mike?
You answer questions in various different categories, and you win these sort of fake gold bars, because obviously, you know, it'd be pushing a bit to do real ones. And then you have to sort of balance them on this sort of topsy-turvy... it is like a sort of seesaw. I can't think of a better excuse, because I don't have very many words in my vocabulary. So I can't think exactly what it is, but basically you balance this. And if you balance enough of these things on, you end up winning up to £100,000, but if it all collapses... what's that game you play where you have sticks and you have to pull them out? And
Jenga. Your fellow TV viewer, Ali Ross, called it Jenga meets Millionaire. So
with a bit of the cube.
Yeah, with a bit of the cube thrown in.
I don't understand the idea of picking Gordon Ramsay. It's like Chris Tarrant opening his own restaurant.
Gordon Ramsay was picked. It's a Gordon Ramsay Studios production, and it's three times a week for three weeks.
Funny enough, he got the gig. It must be a hell of an interview process. The Gogglebox is back tonight.
It is,
isn't it?
Yes,
non-celebrity, just the punters.
The show that thinks it's clever to talk all the way through TV programmes. So again, you know, they never watch Gogglebox on Gogglebox, or do they?
That would just be eating itself, wouldn't it?
Yes, that would be strange. Shouted it, but as I've probably said before, it's great, but I do think they're very knowing and very aware these days. And does anybody ever really watch TV the way people on Gogglebox watch TV?
No, so it's got to be heightened, because if you just turn the cameras on and people are just sitting there watching TV,
do you know what I want? That always like watching, having a Zoom meeting with somebody who doesn't really want to do it, and it's all a bit dark, and they're you know, mostly looking up their nostrils. I prefer that, I think, you know. Heightened stuff can get a bit exhausting after a while.
Andy tried to be part of one of the other new series tonight, Grayson's Art Club, on Channel 4 during the sort of first lockdown, and he didn't get on, did he?
I realised how brilliant everybody else was.
But the thing is, in all seriousness, you feel a bit despondent, but your artwork is rather wonderful. But I can't draw for toffee. So if you watch it, it is inspiring, but at the same time, you just feel very inadequate when you watch it. It just feels, I just doodle on a pad.
I also think it's slightly late. I think we could have done with this in sort of, you know, start of January. We really, you know, I think people are starting going out now. I know they're not supposed to, but I'm not sure.
Well, they shouldn't be, Andy. I think you'll find people have started going out now.
Well, I think you'll find if you drive around the streets, you'll see quite a lot of people out there. Yeah, but that's another story altogether.
Yes. So should we on to tomorrow? Yeah. Should we look at... there's a repeat of Billy Connolly Made in Scotland, series on BBC Two. Mm-hmm. But Alan Deck's Saturday Night Takeaway, did it get decent viewers last week?
It peaked at 8.1 million viewers, according to ITV. I don't know what it slumped at. Right. It might have had 1.2 million or something. But yes, it did well. I mean, if you're going to put a couple of guys in front of what is effectively a giant bank of TV screens and sort of still be enthusiastic and make it entertaining, then they did a splendid job of it. And of course they had, you know, you got your pre-recorded bits and you got Jamie Redknapp and Harry doing a fine
they did a little wind-up.
They pretended they were running opening a restaurant there, and they were sort of interviewing potential candidates for it, and of course they were wired up to Anton Deck, who were issuing instructions as to how to conduct this interview. It's very funny. It's actually, it worked really well.
They didn't interview Chris Tarrant. He's opening his own restaurant.
No, but not yet anyway.
Now this is something that switched, I think, on Sunday. That's by the way, at 7 o'clock on ITV on Saturday. On Sunday, ITV 8 o'clock. This is something that switched from, wasn't it daytime, this? Is this McDonald's?
No, you're thinking of Hathaway and Shakespeare.
My wife loves that one.
I can't keep up.
I heard Jason Watkins being interviewed, so I decided to check out the first one of the last, one of the ones from the last series. And it was quite fun. It had a sort of Death in Paradise feel to it, really, a bit joke. Yeah. But in the end, 2 hours, you think, oh, I can't invest 2 hours.
It's not Davey
Dodds,
is it? The old Dundee United frontman. I doubt it, I wouldn't think.
It's set in Bath. I actually really liked it. I thought it worked really well. So it's three episodes of this latest series. They are 2 hours long, but obviously, you know, you just watch it a bit later and fast forward through the adverts. So okay. It's an hour and a half.
Trick of the trade there.
who'd ever done that? And they're okay. It's all unlikely partners solving crimes in bar. Mm. So he plays a sort of very sort of an old school guy who's sort of been around for donkey's years, but he's quietly a quiet genius. And she plays a woman who's sort of very ambitious and sharp, but actually sort of relies on him more than she is prepared to admit. Mm. So they both need each other, but there's a chalk and cheese thing, which is as old as the hills as a concept, but again, it works really nicely. And a good guest cast for the first one, Rob Brydon, Rupert Graves, Kathy Tyson, Martin Kemp, and Patsy Kensit in it.
Wow, good cast, yeah.
And a lovely backdrop of Bath, which is a beautiful place.
It is a beautiful place, and I like the tone of it. It's quite
tongue-in-cheek. Is it 2 hours, Mike?
It is 2 hours.
2 hours. Blimey, yeah, that's an investment.
But anyway, you can fast forward. I've said that.
Yeah, you can fast forward the adverts. Yeah.
Nobody does that. Yeah. Well, they do.
So, also, A New Life in the Sun, : Road Trip. This is not a colon road trip.
Well, colon road trip. That's on 10 o'clock on Channel 5.
It probably
next
would
week.
Be, wouldn't it? Yeah, the Endoscope show. 7 p.m., Channel 4. Yeah. It's old Fred Syria. He's done well for a maitre d', isn't he?
He's done all.
Is he a maitre d' or a TV presenter? I'm not confused.
He's pretty much everything now, because he does that thing with Gordon Ramsay, Gordon, Fred, and Gino, where they go off on jolly jokes.
Go on
together.
Holiday, yeah.
Yeah, which is tortuously unfunny. So he's in that. So he manages, he's got that one. He's got that thing where he goes to these sort of fancy restaurants abroad
they're
and just
all good
eats
gigs,
oh
they?
That's good
food.
Yeah, I like that that's
quite
good, show,
good. Yeah. Don't think there's any Gordon Ramsay.
He's not done
in
one called You Cannot Be Syria. He hasn't. It's a gift, isn't
where
it?
But people audition to be him, because there needs to be at least several of him to make all these shows. Like Ryland, you can't just be one Fred, because there's got to be at least half a dozen. And people
have
to audition.
First Dates was quite fun this week. That started. That was quite fun. We watched.
I didn't see that.
I've taken to watching these sort of prep.
Weird.
Okay. Well, on my recommendation, well, no. It's just come to that.
Okay. Yes. And Sam Matterface back in work this Sunday night, because Dancing on Ice returns after they had to have an injury break.
Yes, they had an injury break, and I think Jason Donovan's pulled out altogether, and they've just announced today that the final has been put back a week.
Wow.
It's all over the place, isn't it?
It's difficult.
It's hard enough normally because people are dropping like flies, but it's movie week, of course, Mike, isn't it?
It is movie week, so they'll be dancing to something from some films, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Sounds great.
Sound a bit jaundiced, Mike, like it's all like that result against Palace has got to you. A bit.
Oh, do you know what? Oh, yeah. Seriously, don't you wouldn't have wanted. They wouldn't have wanted to film Gogglebox in my house when I was watching that, put it that way. Really.
Brilliant. All right, Mike, thanks very much.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. Andy will be back alongside me on Monday from 1. Max in Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday when we'll have a birthday spread. And, of course, Andy back next Friday as well. So have a great weekend. Enjoy all the sport. And we will catch up with you then.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.